Hello and welcome to Enter the Dark, a series of podcasts with the Coca-Cola Signature Mixer co-creators. Today I'm talking to Pippa Guy. Pippa is an amazing bartender. She was head bartender at the Savoy's American Bar. And since the Coca-Cola Signature Mixers project, she's traveled to New York and traveled back again because of COVID. Let's have a listen to how she's got on, what she's doing now, and what makes her tick. So I'm sat in Dalston in London, and I'm sat here with Pippa Guy. Pippa, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How are you?
Yeah, great.
Considering,
yeah. Positive as ever.
That's brilliant.
Trooping on.
So Pippa is one of our co-creators on the Signature Mixers project, and brought such a fresh breath of air into the room when we ran that workshop with a slightly different way of thinking. So thank you for that. I'm really interested, Pippa, in what made you make cocktails. Before we get into that, tell me a little bit about yourself.
A little bit about myself? Ooh, my favourite colour's orange. I'm obsessed with whales. I think this has come out of like a love of the ocean that has sort of really developed the last like 4 to 5 years. I started surfing a year and a half ago, mostly as like a bonding sort of mechanism with my sister. And also just at that point had a really rough year and needed some time away for myself. So took myself to Bali for a week and was like, I'm gonna learn to surf. Yeah, and then love of all things ocean sort of developed, and I've just adopted my first whale, whose name is Pepper.
That's amazing, you can adopt a whale.
Yeah, apparently she's a humpback. She's a grandmother of 11, I think.
That's incredible. So how does surfing make you feel?
It's one of those things that for me, everyone has like their way to reset, I guess, and refresh. And for me, that involves getting in the ocean and being able to splash around and do some exercise and come out completely knackered and have a cider and a bag of chips.
Do you do it for the cider and the bag of chips?
Pretty much, yeah.
So you've got a lot of acid going on there. You've got the acidity of the cider. I'm guessing you got vinegar with your chips as well.
Oh yeah, loads.
That's absolutely...
lots of salt.
That's brilliant, that is. And I love the idea of you taking up surfing, not late, but later on than you would maybe normally have taken up surfing. And bonding with your sister, why did you do that?
It's like, I guess it's just one of those things, like we've been sort of all over the place. My sister's a doctor, she's a psychiatrist, so she works pretty mental hours as well. Days and nights on sort of any day of the year. And obviously me working in hospitality also do the same thing. You know, Christmas days are common to be working, or weekends and whatever. And we sort of found it really difficult for the last few years to even spend much time together. So it's one of those things where like surfing just sort of brought us back together a bit. And it's one of these things where you can't just like dedicate a small amount of time. If you're going to go for a weekend, it's going to consume your entire weekend, which is fantastic. And it means you can really sort of switch off from the rest of the world.
I love that idea. I really do. And you're right. You know, it's very easy to drift apart from the people that we love, and togetherness, being together really matters. So obviously you're a world-class bartender, probably one of the most decorated bartenders that I work with, and you've worked in amazing places. How did this start? I'm really interested in what makes people. What did your childhood, what did it taste like? How important was flavour when you were growing up?
I don't know, I guess it's kind of interesting from that point of view. I think when you speak to a lot of bartenders, I think a lot of people will categorise them like the career found me. I didn't find the career sort of, if that makes sense. A lot of people sort of fell into it almost by accident as like a part-time job, which it was for me. When I first started uni, wanted to be a bit more sort of self-sufficient. And then sort of my love of my part-time job overtook my love of my uni course, and it just kind of grew from there and didn't stop. And then once I moved to the Savoy, I guess I just sort of didn't really look back after that. It's weird, isn't it? Because I feel like hospitality as like a career has only sort of just found itself in the last few years. I think people stopped asking me if this is, you know, my real job or my full-time job about 3 years ago, which was, you know, really refreshing. But yeah, before that, and I think maybe we might struggle again after how this year's been, it hasn't really been viewed as a career choice.
That's fascinating. And that, I'll talk to you about university in a minute. But what did your childhood taste of?
Well, my parents aren't amazing cooks particularly. I think I'm definitely the best chef in the family now, and that's only really happened in the last sort of 2 years. Like when I first sort of got into tasting alcohol, like I remember my mum giving me a taste of her gin and tonic, and I remember thinking, God, that's gross. Ironic now because I work for a gin brand, so luckily I taste mature. But I wasn't very interested in alcohol until probably university, I guess. I was much more interested in the big outdoors, and horse riding consumed most of my life as a child, and spending a lot of time on the farm.
That's one of the most sensory environments you can be in, that smell, when my daughters have all ridden, and that smell
that leather.
Of horse. Leather, but also just the stable.
Yeah.
Just that really acrid smell, and it's really interesting. It almost becomes pleasant.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. When I like go back to my parents' house or drive through the countryside now and you get that like manure spreading smell, I'm like, ooh, isn't that amazing? And everyone's like, no.
But that's because taste and smell, they're time machines. They take you to places that you can remember in a much richer, vivid way.
Yes.
All of that. So look, university, what did you study at university?
Sport and exercise science.
Sport and, was it in Leeds?
Yeah, in Leeds.
Leeds Met. Uni. Yeah. So I know Leeds really, really well.
Great city.
Incredible city. Not as incredible as London, but getting gooder, better. Which bar did you work in first?
So I started in a bar called Trio. It's part of the group Arc Inspirations. It's now closed, actually. It closed about a year ago, that specific site. But the rest of the group is growing massively. I think they're up to about 18, maybe nearly 20 sites now, and have just expanded. But Trio was one of the first three of the group. It was two streets down the road from my uni house. And my best friend from university, Laura, was working there already. She started a few months before me, and I went on a night out with her and the rest of the staff. And then the next day they were interviewing people and they were like, do you want a job? And I was like, yeah, you're all great. Not really sort of knowing what I was getting into.
That's amazing. Can you remember the first drink that you made, the first cocktail that you made?
Ooh, I don't know. I think probably like we had like a raspberry Collins that I remember making like hundreds of in the basement bar. And then there's also another drink called like something to do with cookies and cream. It was like Kahlua and Oreos and double cream and like, you know, a heart attack in a glass, basically, but delicious. And obviously sold lots of those as well. I think probably Raspberry Collins.
A Raspberry Collins.
One of the first, or like mojitos, I reckon.
I do love a mojito.
Yeah.
I do love a mojito. That's amazing. And is there something in you that drew you into, you got the job because of you knew the people and you enjoyed the company.
Yeah.
Was there something in you that really enjoyed creating flavour, or did you prefer creating occasion? Was it the feeling that you were helping people enjoy, or the tastes? What was it, the bigger driver there?
I think it definitely started off being more like the feeling, the emotional, the social, the enjoyable side of it. Obviously, at that point, I wasn't expecting it to turn into a career. It was more for the sort of fun and to spend my uni nights, or at least half of them, out but earning money rather than out and spending it. So a bit of a balance. And I think over the last 10 years, that's definitely stayed the same but also swapped, whereas flavours, obviously, as my career's developed, become much more of a central part of why I'm doing it and why I'm interested in it. But there's definitely that element of like social hub that remains.
Oh, you lift mood. I mean, that's what I've learned working with bartenders over the last 7 years, is that the drink is really important, but the whole kind of coming together and bringing that performance, that drink, that feeling together, you're like a DJ with flavour and feeling, and that's really rare.
Yeah, Declan, my former boss from the American bar, would always say, we don't sell drinks, we sell experiences, which I think sums it up nicely, because if you have a great drink, but the atmosphere is flat and your bartender's boring or busy or not talking to you or whatever, then it doesn't matter how good the drink is. If the rest of your experience is pants, then you're not going to go back, are you?
No, you're not. You're absolutely right. So building on that a little, do you see bartending, cocktail making, drink creating, do you see it more as an art or a science?
Both. I think one of the things that really drew me in as a career is that I've always been a bit of a like jack of all trades, master of none, particularly at school. Like, I was really fascinated with history. I loved art. I played musical instruments. I was really sporty. And I really wanted to like sort of fall into a career that sort of encapsulated all of that. And I think that's why I kind of ended up in this route, because it's creative yet historical. And there's loads of sort of capacity for collaborating with sort of art and music and lots of different other creative industries, whilst also being, you know, incredibly dynamic, and what you do day to day can be so incredibly varied. And then also like the travel aspect of what we do can be done all over the world. And I've been really fortunate to go to all these amazing different places in the last few years.
That's really interesting. I love this whole idea of you being like a really broad base of interests, and how your passion shifted from creating space and holding place to creating drinks and holding tastes. That's really interesting. And we came across you when you were at the Savoy, which is incredible.
Nearly 3 years ago now.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And we were so delighted you could join in with the co-creation workshop for Signature Mixers. Tell me about the workshop. Tell me about your signature mixer. What brought you to create that? Were there any sort of breakthrough moments in the workshop that made you change what you were doing?
The workshop was cool. I was really busy at the time, and I remember sort of looking through your invitation and the sort of brief and what it was, etc., and thinking like, oh, it's a mixers thing, yada yada yada, and like kind of scanning through and not really grasping the whole concept, and then turning up and seeing this like fantastic room in the basement that was full of all these like oils and incenses and ingredients and like fresh and dried stuff, and I was like, oh, this is just like a little playground. And obviously, like, the more you sort of outlined to us what the project was, the more I was like, oh, this is like really serious, this is like has potential to be huge, which is almost laughable looking back at it now that we know what it is.
That's exactly what we want. We wanted to create this playground, this sandpit for people to play in. And the overriding smell as you walk down those basement steps of the herbs and the oils, it stayed with me, stayed on my clothes for months. And then we gave people the freedom to work on their own or in pairs. And you worked in a pair, and I could see that there was something firing between the two of you. There was some magic kind of going on between the two of you. Tell me about your signature mixer and how you work with Adriana.
So I think what was probably like a really key point with Adriana and I is that we knew each other beforehand. We were already friends before doing the mixer session. So I think like, you know, that kind of helped. We already had a bit of a bond, a bit of a rapport. She is quite similar to me, quite fiery and stubborn, and both will sort of say it as it is. And so we're quite sort of straight with each other when it comes to stuff that's working and stuff that's not working. Kind of similar to everyone else, like we get this question quite a lot, because ours is the only mixer that was actually created, the final product as a pair. We did do some of our own experiments as well of different ingredients, but actually like the recipe that we landed on being the one that we made together was just the best one.
It was such a great recipe. And I remember, I mean, I sent you all out at lunchtime to go clue hunting and bring back flavours you'd never used before. And most people went and sat in the bar. You didn't. You genuinely went out clue hunting. Can you remember what you came back with?
No.
You can't?
No.
So you came back with...
I'm like, wait, if you'd say a kebab or something.
No. You came back with a really beautiful collection of kind of herbs. And I can't remember which one, but I will remember which one in a minute. And it became a really big part of the drink. So what are the main
jasmine
elements?
Jasmine.
No, it wasn't jasmine.
Rosemary?
Yes, it was rosemary.
Yeah.
It was rosemary. But you came back with some. So tell me how you built that drink. Tell me, how do you even begin creating a drink?
It's different, I guess, depending on what your brief is. So for this specifically, we were told, you know, a mixer for dark spirits and to sort of work with Coca-Cola as the base and then just kind of go wild, I guess. We weren't really given much more restrictions after that. I really love ginger. Like, I think it's grown in popularity in the last few years massively, which has, you know, really helped our mixer, but also like classic cocktails and sort of modern classics like the penicillin. That sort of flavor profile has really become appealing to drinkers in the last 3 or 4 years, maybe. I think that also kind of ties in with like a general trend of health and wellness that's really sort of picked up pace in the last 5 years and will continue to do so. So ginger was kind of my starting point. And I guess that was like my side of spicy, so to speak. And then jalapeno came from Adriana. And at that point we were like, okay, this is getting quite intense. It's getting quite strong quite quickly, which is where we started to look for sort of slightly fresher, more fragrant, more delicate ingredients to add. So I think rosemary came pretty quickly. Jasmine was, I think, the last ingredient. Jasmine and lime were the last two. And I think jasmine came next. And then we needed the lime for just that kind of cut of acidity, which just sort of managed to pull everything else together. It's kind of like a weird bunch of ingredients as well. I guess when you read it, it maybe might not make as much sense to look at as it does to taste. Maybe that's just personal.
Well, I think it made perfect sense to taste. I remember the consumer sessions, and I remember the response to that drink being particularly positive. And then also with the team that sits behind me, that response was really positive. But the best thing was watching the other bartenders taste it. And you could just see that there was something there that they really wished they'd done. There was just something.
That's cool. I missed that. I wasn't there on the second day.
Yeah.
I was working.
But it was very powerful, really powerful. It was a lovely experience. What I love about all of those drinks, I mean, you know, Coca-Cola are really brave. They opened up the recipe, they opened up the branding, they opened up the bottle, and we had such fun with that. If people wanted to take that drink into the winter, into a Christmas drink, if they wanted to use your mixer at Christmas, how would you do that? What would be your perfect serve for the shorter evenings?
So we did a Christmas party, didn't we, December last year, in Quaint, which was really cool, and we decked out the whole place. I did with spicy a hot, like a mulled wine serve. Obviously, like in Spain, they do the whole red wine and Coke thing, which was kind of where my inspiration for that started. And I was like, oh, let's see if this is going to be nice hot or if it's going to be completely disgusting.
Tell me about that, because I didn't realize that. So red wine and Coke mixed together as a drink in Spain.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It's super fragrant. Obviously, with Coca-Cola, you had to sort of get the fizz out of it, lose the carbonation to then add it. I think we also had a bit of sweet vermouth in there, but it was really interesting, that kind of sweet, herbal, winey flavours. It's like, to pick out everything individually, it's really easy to get it all together as a drink as a whole. It was just really strange but amazing. So I think it's always nice when you have a drink and you're like, I get it, but this is like what's going on.
So how does it make you feel afterwards when you drunk that drink?
Warm.
Is it like a hug?
Like an inside out hug.
I love that. I do remember it really clearly. It was a good party, that was. And what's happened in your life since then? Since Signature Mixers?
Since then.
What's happened to you?
Well, I mean, this year's been a bit interesting for everyone, hasn't it? Since that party in December, I moved to New York at the beginning of this year in January to go and open a new bar, which sadly we're about 3 or 4 weeks away from getting open, didn't quite get there, and came home in March due to COVID and everything that was going on. I remember talking to my mum on the Sunday night and was like, oh no, it's really not that bad in New York here yet. You know, I've got a full working rota for this week. I'm in work tomorrow morning. 24 hours later, I was on a plane home with an emergency bag of clothes that I sort of scrambled together at last minute. I then went to my sister's house in Bristol for 3 months. Obviously, she's a medic and so is her partner, so they were working pretty much flat out at that time. So I got the awful job of looking after their gorgeous dog for a few months and also just sort of cooking and cleaning and being housewife, I guess. I was also applying for NHS jobs as well to try and sort of be a part of helping if I could, which I didn't get through because they were overwhelmed with applications from very many people. And then moved back to my parents at the end of the summer, or sort of middle of the summer, I guess, and spent some time hanging out with them. So yeah, 5 months of sort of unemployment, which is, it's a weird position to be in, I guess, isn't it? It's not a place that anyone sort of ever envisages themselves being in.
Certainly weird for one of the world's best bartenders.
Well, and for a lot of bartenders, actually, I think it's a lot of people have lost their jobs this year and continue to do so, or have spent a lot of time sort of on furlough. Yeah, it's been a strange year for everyone creatively. A lot of people have tried to sort of keep up with doing different projects or independent things. But I think it's funny, isn't it? Lots of people have found lots of really innovative ways of doing things. And a lot of people have also just focused on sort of getting through, which is totally fine as well.
Yeah, sure. And what are you doing now?
So I'm very lucky to actually have a job and to have found a job sort of mid-pandemic, I guess. I now work for Tanqueray Gin as the UK brand ambassador, which I started beginning of September. So just gone 2 months in.
And you now really like gin?
Yeah. I mean, I've always really liked gin. I mean, not when I was a kid, not my initial reaction, but I love gin, yeah. I'm super happy. I've always thought, like, if I was going to work in a position with a brand, it would be for a gin company. It's my favourite spirit by far. I like maybe whiskey I could have done, but I'm definitely like a bit more of a novice in the whiskey category. But yeah, gin's always been the spirit of choice for me. So when the opportunity came around with Tanqueray, I jumped at it. Since working on the World Class programme last year as like a mentor and sort of stage set for the global finals, which was probably one of the hardest working weeks of my life, but also probably one of the most rewarding as well. It was just incredible. And that was the point where I was like, you know what, this would be actually a really cool company to work for. I think in my sort of plan, my vague life plan, I think going into sort of brand work would be something that I would have wanted to do maybe 3 or 4 years time, you know, having opened the bar in New York. But I guess, you know, it's a pretty good silver lining to have when your plan A didn't go to plan or B or C.
but this situation we're in, it's brought many things forward.
Yeah.
It's made things happen earlier than they were going to happen. And I can see you in that role. I mean, what I see in you, Pippa, is this unbelievably creative brain that can pull, you know, you've got a great gut instinct and a great thought process that pulls flavors, but also people together. You're an astonishing connector of people and also ideas. So the world that you're moving into needs you. And I think you will bring such strength and such opportunity that you'll probably change the way that sector works. And I really hope you do. I really hope you don't follow in the footsteps of the previous person.
Yeah.
I hope you create a new path, because that's what's needed right now in every sector, but particularly that sector.
Yeah, I'm really incredibly grateful for it. Like, as a person, while working at the Savoy, I was working some incredibly crazy hours, plus doing other things like Coca-Cola signature mixers, and I was writing my book. And I really lost my like balance of work and human life. And one of the things that I was like determined this year to get back is like all the things that I love doing that aren't work related. So surfing more. I've just brought my first surfboard. It arrives on Saturday. I'm so overly excited. I can't even tell you. And I joined a netball team again, which is something that I haven't done in 5 years. I was playing in the Yorkshire Premiership when I left Leeds and just couldn't keep that going at the Savoy. So we won our first match last week, which was incredibly exciting. I feel like a school kid again, like sort of getting back all my other passions as well, which sort of in turn feeds back into your work life as well, doesn't it? When your brain and your body is happier.
Totally. That whole look, it's like creating a cocktail. Everything needs to balance.
Yeah.
All the parts of your life. And if one is too heavy and too flavorful, then you miss the others. And I saw on Instagram that you were netballing again, and a great big smile came on my face because I could feel the child in you coming back
to play.
And you know, the thing about our childhood is we spend ages knocking the corners off ourselves and making ourselves nice and smooth so we fit in. Yeah. But actually what really matters is how we stand out.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? And I think your book, you talk about this in the beginning of Do Present, about how sort of after maybe like middle of your life, you sort of stop giving a damn about what other people think about you. And I think it's something that has sort of changed my life in the last 2 years, is I care so much less what other people think about me. And it's great.
It's freeing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But let me tell you, people really like you. So that's a given. But look, just to finish off, what are you most excited about at the moment? I know it's a dark time where excitement is thin on the ground, but what is it that you're most optimistic about and most excited about?
I think, like, call me an optimist, but I think there is light at the end of the tunnel. Obviously, this year's been a bit pants for everyone all around, but it won't last forever. I'm really just sort of looking forward to the day that I get to hang out with my friends again more. My sort of like solid girl gang is sort of spread all over the place through Cork and the Lake District and Leeds. So I've only really seen them once this year. And that's something that I've really missed. And I think, you know, I just can't wait for the day that we can mingle with other people again and go and hang out in a house somewhere in the middle of nowhere, preferably by an ocean, so I can go surf and just sort of spend some time with my pals again.
That's brilliant. What a lovely, lovely image that is. The whole idea of time together and the whole idea of socialising, it will come back.
Oh yeah, of course.
It really will. But Pippa, thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for being part of Signature Mixers. Thank you for being you and just adding a glint of light to the whole process. You made it a lot easier for us. And you made it an amazing drink. So thank you so much.
Thank you.